I wished to Christ 5-6 years ago that I would have took a summer off and went back to Denmark and Sweden and Norway. Because I could have spoke to all of them. Oh, heck, I could read Swede just as good as I could Norwegian or American, as far as that go. Our neighbor over there was a Swede. Well, Dad was in Sweden for 10 years, you know. So he learned it, and he could talk just as good as any Swede. And he could read Swede. Well, this fella over here, he had Swedish paper. Well, I was a kid, I always went after the mail. So I'd bring his paper here. He had the Swedish American Post. Well, Dad'd have to read that, and of course I'd read it. So I got so I could read it good. And Denmark and Norway, that used to be one country at one time. So they used the same language. But the pronoun's different. But they used the same book, same Bible and everything. Well, I could went to Norway, to Denmark, and then I could have went right across the little piece of the ocean that stick in there and over to Malmö, Sweden. That used to belong to Denmark in early days, but during the war Sweden took Skåne away from Denmark, so it belongs to Sweden now.
Your family, did they speak Norwegian when you were a boy at home? Did you have to learn English in school?
Why, yes, they spoke at home, but the girls has learned it on the outside, and when they were home, so I learned it from them pretty well.
Did your parents learn to speak English good?
No, not very good. They're pretty broken.
Did it ever give them a hard time that they couldn't speak English?
Oh, not too bad. Well, Dad, it didn't bother him so much. But Mother, it bothered her a little. Well, after Dad sold the timber here, he bought 40 acres down there on the ridge. And of course we raised quite a little hay here. And we baled the hay here. And that 40 acres was all cleared up. And there was a lot of hay down there. So we'd bring the cattle down there and keep them down there in the winter. And then we'd bring them up here and keep them here in the summer. Well, next to where we lived, there was a bunch of Germans around there. So I learned, there was an old German, his name was Heck. He'd pretty near always come up to the place every other night anyway. And he'd spoke off a broken German. So I learned till I could get along pretty well with the German. So you could say there was four languages I could understand pretty good.
Can you tell me what your father was like? Tell me what kind of a guy he was?
Well, that's his picture right there. When he was a kid, you know, there used to be a lot of them Russian wolves come over there, and I guess they were pretty vicious. And it was in early days, you know, they used kind of them muscle loaders and flintlocks, and they saved all the ashes out of stove and everything they could, and burnt potash out of it to make lye. Well, he was about 22, 21 or 2, and he was sitting up burning potash, and he heard the wolves. They had a hired man, and he got the hired man in. And they went out to wolf hunt. They'd put a goat on the sled, see, and them goddamn wolves had come right in on the sled. And Dad put the swan screw in and pulled the charge out of the gun because it's been laying out in the shop there where they were burning potash, so he figured it was maybe damp, and he poured in new powder and put in new flint, and they went out, and he's put in too much powder, and he blowed the gun to pieces, and the screw in the back end blowed out and went in under his eye and broke the chin bone, and I guess they operated on him 6 times. In those days they didn't use chloroform. He used to have to take it a week. They took out over 20 pieces of bone out of his face on that one side. That's why he's got the face turned, so the picture is just off from one side of the face.
Did you say that your mother had a harder time because she couldn't speak English very well?
Well, it bothered her more. But of course, there was always somebody around. And Dad got a blood poison and gangrene in his legs. He died, and got the banker from Derry to come out. He wanted his widow made, and they wanted deed the place to me. Dad says, if you take care of mother as long as she lives, we'll deed the place to you. Well, I says, that's all right, but we'll see what the girls has got to say about that. Well, the girls, they both said they didn't want nothing, so they deeded the place to me, and then mother got what little money they had, and she had that. And when Dad died, I and my sister went into town, you know, there was no undertaker around here. But the fellow that had the store in there, he carried caskets and one thing and another. And he had several caskets in there. And he happened to be in Spokane this day. And he come in, and we was upstairs looking at the caskets, and here he come up, and we were looking at one casket. It was a pretty nice looking casket, and about the same as the rest of them was using, $40 for a casket those days. Well, he had one there, it was marked $80. That was a nice casket. He come up, he says, you don't want that, and you want this one over here. That was a bigger casket. Yeah, I says, a pretty big, nice casket. Quite a lot of price, you know. $40 was a lot of money those days. Well, he says, you take that, and he says, you'll have that one for $40. Well, my God, you know, the neighbors around here that have had people die and used them $40 caskets, God, they went pretty near crazy over there that I could buy that nice casket. I never told him that I paid only 40 for that.
Why do you think he gave it to you for 40?
Well, I always traded with him, and he was kind of a funny fella. I don't know. Some people couldn't get along with him at all. And others, again, he got along with pretty good. There was another story in there that was kind of a bucking him too. But they couldn't do nothing with him because this fellow that had the casket, by God, he had the money. And he bought a lot of stuff by the carload lot. so he could fellowship with the rest of them and make money. I know one time one fella bought in a bunch of hay wire, that is baling wire, and he started selling cheaper than it anywhere else. And by gosh, old Jurgen shipped in a carload. And by God, he started selling it for 2.5 a spool. Instead of 3.5 at the other place. He was funny. And finally he sold out and he went down to Seattle. He had 2 boys and 2 girls. And the oldest one of the girls died afterwards. But 2 of the boys, I kind of think, is alive, and one of the girls, they're down around Seattle. Well, the oldest boy come up here, oh, it must be 5-6 years ago, and he come to Derry and visited. And by gosh, nobody knew him. And one of the Anderson finally told them who he was, and they come out to visit me. And I was a-working out here. And Mr. says to me, he says, "You know who this fella is?" I said, "Well, just wait a minute, let me think." I looked at him and I said, "By God," I says, "he's got all the map of old O.C. Jurgensen all over his face." That was Johnny Jurgensen. So we had quite a visit. Well, I'd seen him for 40 years.
I wanted to ask you what you did after you took care of the cattle. What was the next job that you worked on after that?
Well, I think about the next job I worked on, man, was around the place. And then when they started building the railroad, I worked on the railroad gang some. Driving team.
What do you remember about the building of that railroad?
Well, I remember when they put the cut through in Derry there, they had a big kind of a gas or steam outfit. Kind of a plow, and the plow, the hard pan, and then they had a rig that run right alongside of it that plowed the dirt up on a kind of a draper And that went up, and the dirt fell in dump wagons. Then they'd haul it out and dump it. They claim that Phil threw dairy, that there's a dago buried in that Phil. And they claim there is another one buried in that Phil up there at Cornell. You know, there was mostly dagos and that stuff that, and the Shuffle Gang, and one get in there that the rest of them didn't like. They'd hit him in the head and just bury him in the dirt. Then cover him up.
Did you know about that back then? When they were building the railroad, that there were a couple of guys missing?
Well, the bosses knew it, all right, but what in hell did they care? Maybe this fellow's had a couple $300 coming in railroad work. Well, them fellas missing, they didn't have to pay him. Yeah, that was money in the contractor's pocket. And when I drove team up that Cornell, the blast of the whole dam cut there, it was wide, they were going to put in side tracks in there, and they had dump cars that run out with the dirt, and then they kind of had the bridge there we'd drive up on, and the dump cars run in under it, and a square hole, and we'd dump them slip scrapers. So the dirt would go into the dump car, and when you get the dump car full, you start it, and that fella would ride out on it and break it to a stop. And they'd empty the car and straighten up the car. And then a horse would bring it back. One morning it was cold, and the fellas out there at the dump, a kind of a leveling, they were cold. They went down and set a fire to a big brush pile, got it burning pretty good, and they got up onto the dump to dump a car that's come out. And by God, some of the fellas that had been shooting left a box of powder in that brush pile. And by God, that went off. And boy, there were sticks and logs and everything flying all over the country. Well, there was a white man out there, and a dago on the dump. Boy, they sure went around, but nobody got hurt. Well, I worked that as I got through with the teamwork, and I come home and stayed home a while. They were building a trestle. They called it the High Grouse Trestle. So I went over there and they They have got up pretty high with it. And it didn't make any difference to me how high I went. I didn't get dizzy. The boss says, "You think you can stand it to walk on them timbers up there?" That trestle was 97 feet high, you know. Well, I got up there and I run back and forth on the timbers up there, and it didn't bother me. So I got a job all right there, so I stayed there about a month. During the winter, there was a fellow from the old country that stayed here with the folks, and he done the chores here, helped the folks do the chores, so I didn't have to stay at home. Well then, when we got through up there, the boss says, he says, "I wish to God," he says, "we had some more trestles to build." He says, "I'd like to have you went alone, because you are about the fastest man on the trestle I've had. The rest of them were older men and they were slower and more careful." Well, you know, them square timbers, they'd have to be bored and bolted together. And you get 97 feet high walking on 2x12. You take the stringers with 2x12s put bolted together so they'd make 12x12. And you are a long ways up in the air when you get up to 90 feet to run across on that.
Do you remember what the Dagos were like? Did you have much to do with them? Do you remember what the Dagos were like? Did you have much to do with them?
The Dagos?
Yeah.
Well, they were Italians and Bohemians. Oh, some of them was damn nice for me. There was one outfit staying up here that always got eggs and butter and meat from us. The boss's name was Pedro. He went back to Italy. And hell, there's quite a few of them Italians that stay here. You can't tell they're Italians now anymore. Hell, they were just some of them in one part of Italy, you know. Some of them Italians were just as light as any of them. But the south part of Italy, they were pretty dark. And there was one Bohemian that used to live up there on the hog meadow, he turned out to be quite a logger. By God, you know, he was always making a little money, and by gosh, you know, when got right hard times, quite a few fellas would go up there and work for him. And he always seemed to be able to have a little money. Well, he had a nephew there that was kind of half foolish. And by God, you know, when he died, he made his money.